Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Human Technology Podcast. It is the second episode of the double episode. Is that correct English? The second episode of a double episode? I have no idea. In the last one, I talked about the IFA, the Innovation for All in Berlin. And today, it will be about the IAA, the Internationale Automobilausstellung, the International Car Exhibition at Munich. I attended both events in the same week, 2 weeks ago. And originally, I planned to make one episode about both, but I collected so much material on both of the events that I decided to split that last episode about the IFA, the Innovation for All, this one about the IAA, the big car show at Munich. So I'm switching from Currywurst to Weißwurst. That is an expression my friend and colleague Thomas Feringer-Kuhn brought up in a LinkedIn survey he did. Will you have Currywurst, meaning will you be in Berlin for the IFA, or will you have Weißwurst, meaning will you be in Munich for the IAA, or will you have both? I had both, and thanks to Thomas for this beautiful picture he was using, and He has an excellent podcast as well. So finish this episode here, and then you can move on to the UX Leadership podcast that Thomas is providing. Many of the episodes are in English. He's having great interview partners, and it's all about how can we live leadership in user experience development. All right, so let's go down to the Weißwurst part of my little Germany tour I had 2 weeks ago. The IFA, the Innovation for All, is some kind of CES for all non-mobility topics. A showcase for consumer electronics, household appliances, wearables, smart home solutions. All these things that are non-mobility related. And in a direct contrast, the IAA in Munich this year felt like a small mobility CES. So at CES, the West Hall is fully packed with mobility things on OEMs and suppliers and service providers and solution providers. They're all there presenting that. Even parts of the old automotive hall, the North Hall, that is back to mobility with micro-mobility and then all the related exhibitors. So many of the booths at the IAA in Munich were small versions of the CES booths of the same companies. So it felt a bit like, hey, I've traveled from non-mobility CES in Berlin, the IFA, to the IAA in Munich, which is a version or a derivative of the mobility CES, mobility-focused part of the CES. And the CES is, from my point of view, the benchmark of all technology shows, of all technology exhibitions. So that is the one that is still setting the benchmark and giving us the direction where it is. So electric drivetrains, software-defined vehicles, interior concepts, autonomous functions, all those took center stage and were displayed in Munich. And the Munich show has two parts, the summit, which is in the Messegelände, the exhibition grounds, and then there, which is a 100% professional part, and then there is a public part in the Munich downtown, where all the big OEMs have their shows, basically put out their showrooms and show their latest cars. I'm gonna get back to this in a few minutes. While we're walking through the exhibition halls, it became clear to me that the IAA is increasingly taking its cues from Las Vegas, less of a pure car show, more of a tech platform, tech presentation platform of future mobility. In this way, the two fairs complement each other. So the IFA in Berlin provides a glimpse into smart homes and devices and wearables and health. And the IAA shows the roadmap for smart mobility. The IAA Mobility was held in Munich from September 9 to 14. It has further consolidated its role as Europe's largest mobility show, mobility platform. About 750 exhibitors, 37 countries, presented a wide range of solutions from electric vehicles to micromobility, digital infrastructure, batteries, software. More than 500,000 visitors, even more than the already high number from 2 years ago. And we had a strong international presence. About 57% of exhibitors came from abroad, many of them for the first time ever. So we had the summit, as I said, at the exhibition grounds and the open space in downtown Munich. That ensured a high visibility and a broad public attention. So it is increasingly evolving. The IAA is increasingly evolving from a classic car show into a comprehensive mobility exhibition that appeals industry, politics, consumers alike. We have this split between the summit on the exhibition grounds, which is a 100% professional show. There's only professionals there. There is no normal John Doe's, Jane Doe's there. The price alone of the tickets, which is ridiculously high, prevents people from just coming there and having a look. This happens in the open space in Munich downtown, which is free. And to be honest, I have been at the summit, at the professional event only. I have not been in the downtown open space area. I talked to a couple of people about this and they said it's not worth going there for a pro. It's packed with people. I have to choose a friendly word now. Interested amateurs, they are blocking everything. You cannot get into a single car. It's all packed with people, which is a good thing. It shows that car and mobility and the automotive industry still does attractive products, still attracts people. But it's not my kind of thing. So I have attended the summit only, and so this will focus on this one. This year, German manufacturers like BMW, Mercedes were present with major efforts using the show to highlight the electric and software strategies. Numerous Chinese brands like BYD, XPeng, Leap Motor, NIO also appeared, underscoring their European ambitions. In contrast, the list of prominent absentees stood out. I mean, very often it's interesting to see not who is there, but who's not there. So the absent companies very often tell their own story. Tesla, once again, stayed away, just like major Japanese manufacturers like Toyota, Honda, Mazda, Subaru. From the US, brands like General Motors, Ford, Stellantis, with Opel, Peugeot, Citroën, Fiat, Chrysler, were largely missing from the spotlight. The absences highlight that while IAA is a heavyweight in Europe and a showcase for the German-China axis, globally it competes with Shanghai, Detroit, and the CES in Las Vegas. So not showing up is a conscious signal that other markets or proprietary formats are being prioritized. A sign that the global stage, and it's about the stage, is more fragmented than ever. And it is okay that certain companies say, okay, I prefer the US market, I have a focus on that one, so I'll be at Detroit, or I have a more mobility focus, I go to Las Vegas, to the CES. I have an Asian focus, or maybe Shanghai, or Beijing, or Tokyo is the top show that you have. And it seems like the IAA in Munich will establish itself in this role in Europe. I have for today five things I'd like to talk about. The first one, and it is a prominent one, China versus Europe. There has been a lot of talk up front. The Chinese don't have a secret sauce. They are not dangerous on one side. And then there's the Chinese wave coming, and there will be no automotive industry in Europe and Germany in a few years from now. And so those were the two extremes that I saw. And it was about this at the IAA, and so I will let you know my view on this one. Second, software-defined vehicles, they gain more and more traction. Clearly stating the software-defined vehicle is a technical term. It is for us in the automotive industry, that's what we talk about. Basically meaning you have a rolling computing platform with an operating system and some connectivity. And on top of that, you have a brand-specific, model-specific, maybe even customer-client-specific software that defines the final vehicle. Number three, I want to talk about batteries as the number one battleground of e-mobility. Number four will be in-cabin sensing. There was a lot about in-cabin sensing there. And number five, we don't get around this one at the moment if we talk about technology, is artificial intelligence. So those are the five things I'd like to talk about. Let's start with the analysis of China versus Europe. The role of Chinese OEM at the IAA Mobility was unmistakable and yet difficult to interpret clearly. Before my visit, I heard voices like from they also just cook with water, as we say in German, or they don't have a secret sauce, which I believe is the better English expression for this, down to the China wave will roll over Europe's industry and destroy everything. I talked a lot, I saw a lot, I collected many impressions, and my conclusion is the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. Fact is, with around 50 Chinese manufacturers and suppliers, China was the second strongest nation at the fair after Germany. Brands like Chang'an, Hongji, Xiaopeng, Avatar, Leap Motor, they presented themselves confidently with a wide portfolio. They don't have just one or two or three cars in their portfolios, most of them have more. From affordable city EVs to premium vehicles, everything is in the program. At the same time, it was evident that not every model and not every brand is truly ready for the European market. The traditional issues as homologation, safety standards, service networks, sales networks, brand trust, still remain major hurdles. Plus, and here I'm talking as an HMI professional, The Chinese OEM I've seen, the Chinese HMIs of Chinese OEMs I have seen in Munich were somehow between mediocre and awful. Some of them were in Chinese. Maybe that's just something like, of course, it's just a translation issue of the language. But they haven't done it. Yeah? They had the Chinese HMIs there. Some of them had English HMIs, which sounded like or looked like they were translated by third grade primary school students, yeah, with very basic English knowledge. It was not at all anyhow elegant. And I'm not a native speaker, but I think my English is good enough to judge that what I have seen there is not proper English, but extremely poor. Plus the fact that graphic design, that interaction design, the entire structure, some of the features just don't meet European taste, don't meet European requirements, don't meet the needs of European users. And on the other hand, the German car industry appeared more focused, clearer, more self-assured after 2 or even more 4 years of uncertainty. So the last show in Frankfurt and the first Munich show 2 years ago, the last show in Frankfurt 4 years ago, they clearly showed that the German auto industry was, or the European auto industry was, on a way down. And that has changed. Now, Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes, they showed concrete roadmaps for software updates, EV platforms, services. Suppliers increasingly emphasized on software-defined vehicles, AI-driven functions. So they are on the right way. They are not where the Chinese are on this level, but they think most of the German auto industry understood what the challenge is. And with German speed, which is very low compared to Chinese speed, but with German engineering art, which is higher than Chinese engineering art. Sorry to say that, but from what I have seen, yes, that's the way, it's the case. They are moving forward. And from my point of view, a tough, long competition is emerging. It's about markets, about credibility, it's about innovation leadership. And the battle is on. And it will not be decided in a short sprint, but in a marathon. Software-defined vehicles. So it is the number one thing. You have this rolling platform, the computing platform you bring out, and then you have the chance with over-the-air updates or cable-based updates at workshops to adapt the car. Even during the development, you can say, okay, I will have a specific group of cars that go to rental car companies and they get a different software than those cars that go to private users or company fleets or whatever. So you have the chance on the same computing platform defining different vehicles with software and updating that, adapting that, getting all the flexibility in there. I made an episode about software-defined vehicles and the use cases collected to that. I thought it was something like half a year ago. I just checked it as almost 2 years ago. Time flies. And so we are having, the use cases, right? The focus on use cases. And it seems like still there is a certain fuzziness in the use cases, but the technology is emerging. So almost all major OEMs, Volkswagen, BMW, Mercedes, presented their strategy to increasingly develop vehicles with over-the-air updates, modular software architectures. Demonstrations included in-car app stores, extended personalization options, AI-based assistant functions, and they dynamically adapting to driving behavior, to use cases, to contexts of use. Yeah, so this is happening. And at the same time, it became clear that the industry is still grappling with significant open issues. Yeah? Standardization, interoperability, that remains unresolved. We have a certain standardization with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, and sometimes this is a good thing, sometimes it's an awful thing. But beyond that, I can't see too much about this one. Data protection, data sovereignty, cybersecurity, that are critical things that are somehow solved up to a certain level, but not on a, let's say, 100% or 95% level. 100% will probably not be achievable in this area, but 95% is not yet reached. And many manufacturers, from my point of view, still struggle with the transformation from a classic hardware, steel and copper and rubber company to software players. And we can see this. Volkswagen is fighting with its CARIAD subsidiary. I haven't heard too much about the Mercedes activities lately. Maybe that they're successful, but I haven't heard too much about this. So this is still an open issue. So at the end, we had an ambivalent picture. Technically impressive prototype services on one side, strategic and organizational challenges on the other. The use cases for software-defined vehicles showed a mixed picture. Clearly valuable application included continuous over-the-app update functions, fleet-based optimization for businesses, personalized profiles that sync across multiple vehicles. Safety and assistance systems can be retrofitted or enhanced through software were also shown there as concrete examples. Some of that, what I saw, felt like a tech showcase. Colorful app stores and cars, entertainment features, hardly beyond what smartphones already offer. I'm asking myself sometimes, where are the use cases? What is really the benefit, the real value behind this one? And I believe that there is a lot of value, but it's not yet realized. So things like providing value in charging and grid stabilization, integration with smart homes, these are areas where I believe that use cases are missing. So we have still a gap between tangible customer benefits and visionary but immature cockpits, which is not a bad thing, which is a good thing, because that shows us where to go, where to move on, and where the next steps are. Battery technology. So battery technology, again, was one of the central topics at the IAA 2025. It is about range, charging speed, and costs of electric vehicles. So future of mobility will be electric, which in parts is a political decision. But I don't see a way around this. And whether we will be fully electric in 2035, 2040, 2050, I have no idea. This is definitely political. In the US, we have a rollback toward combustion engines at the moment. In Europe, we are discussing, will we really ban new combustion engines in 2035, or will we move that date more into the future? This is political. This will change, and this will change not only once, but many times in the next years. So, but the general direction is that we will have battery electric vehicles in the near future. Major player in the battery area is CATL, C-A-T-L, the world's largest battery manufacturer from China. And the battery is critical, so CATL is one of the critical players in this entire game. The battery determines a lot of the user experience. How far can I go? How fast is it charging? How much does it cost? How much weight is in the battery? So the battery is a major player in the definition of the user experience in an electric car. And CATL showed the latest Shenjing Ultra and Qiling batteries, boasting high energy density, fast charging, just minutes from 10 to 80%. improved cycle stability. So there is a lot happening, and they positioned themselves as a key player, even for European OEMs, many of whom already work with the supplier to secure their e-mobility strategies and progresses. At the same time, discussions revealed that Europeans' reliance on a few Asian cell manufacturers is a strategic risk. This is absolutely clear. Being independent has a lower risk, and European and German OEMs are increasingly investing in their own gigafactories. But suppliers like CATL still dominate the battery arena. And that tension was to be felt and once again put serenity and resilience of European battery production into the spotlight. Fact here, it's not only about the production, it's also about the materials. And even if we have an own European battery production, many of the materials we need for a battery are coming out of Asia, coming out of China, which will then shift the problem but not solve it. So for me, one of the the biggest problems we may face in the near future or the mid future of the automotive industry. In-cabin sensing was one of the clear future topics at the IAA, and now it goes far beyond just driver monitoring in its narrowest sense. Yeah, the focus is more on a holistic understanding of all occupants and all of their needs. My friends from the Fraunhofer Institute, a German research institute, demonstrated how various sensor technologies, cameras, radar, capacitive methods can be combined. And they were not only detecting fatigue or distraction, which is more or less traditional things, but also measure vital parameters, breathing, heart rate, and detecting what users are really doing. And up to level 4, according to SAE of the autonomous or automated driving, we will have a shared driving task. This means that in certain contexts, in certain situations, the car will throw the driving task back to the driver. And in that situation, we need to know, is the driver capable at all to drive? Is he or she maybe sleeping or eating or deeply involved in a smartphone app? Yeah? And so we have to know this. And so this is in-cabin sensing plays a major role in these scenarios. The IAA scenarios were presented in which the car automatically adjusts climate control, issue warning in the case of health irregulations, even calls for help autonomously in emergencies. And discussions were about how can such systems be designed in a way that they respect data protection and foster user acceptance. So we have highly sensitive data in here. It's health data. It's my actual status that I have. Do I really want to collect this data and send it out to somewhere? So down to the bottom line here, Fraunhofer made clear that in-cabin sensing goes far beyond regulatory minimum requirements and becomes more and more a central building block for safety, comfort, personalization, and user experiences. Artificial intelligence, no way around this. I was on a conference, but the day before I record this one here, I was on a conference on interactive haptics. And even there, we discussed artificial intelligence, the role of artificial intelligence. And on the IAA, it was ubiquitous. It was, it was everywhere. Artificial intelligence was recurring across almost all of the areas at mobility. The OEMs presented AI as an enabler for automated driving, for predictive maintenance, for personalized user experiences, all this. Voice assistant that respond contextually, vehicle systems interpreting gestures and gaze directions correctly, and content adapting according to contexts. Not only in the car, but AI was also highlighted in production, supply chain management, to increase efficiency and to reduce costs, to speed up planning, development, and then production of cars. I felt that much of that remains at the level of technological promises. Some questions like the bias AI. I mean, if you feed the wrong data into an algorithm, AI will do nonsense. So the quality of data is essential to get good responses from AI. And if you put in biased data, you will get biased results. It's that easy. Data sovereignty. Do I really want my data being used to train some kind of AI algorithm? And there I saw a couple of solutions of Edge AI, meaning Edge Artificial Intelligence, which is local solutions that learn from me. I have no idea how this impacts the quality of the results of the AI. Because in, let's say, a big networked AI, an algorithm that is fed with all kinds of data from all different users, I can imagine that there's a better quality than in local, disconnected AI that uses my data only, my personal data only. But the second solution protects my data. It's my data sovereignty, and I'm in this one. Yeah, liability. Yeah, all this remains unsolved. So we are on a way here. We are moving forward. So as far as AI is concerned, we have an ambivalent picture, concrete processes in some use cases, also much AI washing. Now, if I have an algorithm that somehow reacts to something, it's AI. I doubt that it is the truth. Anyway, always. But it was clearly more as a buzzword. And in some cases, it provided substantial solutions. AI Mobility 2025 demonstrated how broad and dynamic the automotive industry is at the moment. Yeah, from software-defined vehicles, battery technologies, in-cabin sensing, strong Chinese OEMs growing up. So on all areas, we have disruptive changes at the moment. And so the IAA itself was far more than just a car show. It was a marketplace for technologies, strategies, narratives, stories the OEMs tell. And it is clear where the future mobility, or they discussed, it was discussed where the future mobility is being decided. Compared to Shanghai, where the Chinese industry demonstrates its firepower and speed of innovation, Detroit, which remains focused on the US market, the IAA continues to be Europe's central platform. It claims to reflect international trends, international positions itself, within the global competition. For the German and European automotive industry, it's not only a stage, but also a benchmark for competitiveness and credibility. So it becomes clear there how fiercely the battle for markets, technology, and trust is being fought. The relationship between the Chinese and German automotive industry was one of the major tension points at IAA. On one hand, the appearances of Chang'an, Xiaopeng, Avatar confirm how rapidly Chinese manufacturers are advancing in e-mobility, in software integration, in new business models. On the other hand, German OEMs have clearly regained ground after years of uncertainty. They presented sharper technologies, more capable platforms, and visibly a stronger focus on the right things. So to raise this question again of the pre-show, which one of the pre-show voices was right? Those who said the Chinese don't have a secret sauce, or those who stated that there is an unstoppable China wave destroying the European automotive industry? IAA 2025 made clear nothing is clear. Both perspectives are too simplistic. Chinese brands are strong, but not invincible. And the German OEMs are better positioned than in the past years, but not out of danger. So the truth lies, as so often in life, somewhere in the middle. The competition between the two will be tough, but it remains open. There will be markets, there will be customer groups, there will be car classes, kinds of vehicles that will be dominated by the Chinese. And I still see, and I got more optimistic that there is markets and vehicle classes and technologies where European and German car companies are superior. All right, that's it for today. I talked about five focus points of the IAA. China versus Europe, software-defined vehicles, batteries as the background of immobility, in-cabin sensing, and artificial intelligence. And it was definitely worth having both the Currywurst at Berlin at the IFA and the Weisswurst in Munich at the IAA. And the next big show I will attend is hot dogs and hamburgers, the CES at Las Vegas. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.